I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talents here, now they just need to diet, I guess. That is Kobe Altman. Slight mischaracterization of what he said. Kobe Altman, Cavs president of basketball operations earlier today. There's a part of me when he says, the heavy lifting's over. I'm like, okay, that's maybe not looking at a flawed roster.
No, that sounds like someone that thinks their job is done.
Yeah.
Heavy lifting's over. I just put my feet up and just watch as Atkinson does all this development that he's supposed to be able to do. Okay.
All right, so that's the external message. Do you think that's the internal message?
No. I think internally, I think Kobe Altman is scrambling, and I think he's going to try to find some way to at least, I'm not saying mess with the core four, because I'm convinced that he loves this team, but he's got to find a way to find something else, shake it up in just some sort of way.
So we're talking like a Max Strus for... somebody.
Nothing sexy like anyone thinks, okay? But you know what it is? It's like when Boston 3 years ago found Derek White, and now he's turned into their third best player on their team. Like, he from absolute nowhere.
Oh, that's not... He was a really good player. He just happened to be at the end of a bad San Antonio run.
Yeah, again, finding someone like that, though. Finding someone that you can turn into your own version of that and then really have an impactful way. That's what I think he's trying to find.
Didn't you kind of find that in Ty Jerome?
You did until the postseason.
Until
the second round.
That's actually one of the things I like that he said. When he's like, yeah, we had to turn to Ty Jerome as our main point guard in the playoffs. And
that was a tough ask.
Yeah, it was a tough ask. I was like, some honesty.
So that's the thing about Kobe. Kobe does give you a lot more honesty than I feel like a lot of people, whether we talk about the Browns or the Guardians or any team in this city, like he does give you a lot of honesty. He just stretches it to a spot that it just, he doesn't, first off, he doesn't have to. Second off, you leave feeling to yourself like, man, he's really just, he thinks everything is okay. Maybe it's because of last year too that I'm leaning into this, because last year he told us the same message and then he did do exactly what he said he was going to do.
I think upon further reflection and as I have moved away, and the funny thing is I had moved away from the anger of the Pacers series. And so towards the end of last week, we just had some good conversations of like, hey, this should be on the table and here's how you go about it. And then the Kobe thing really got me a little cattywampus today because it really just irritated me. They should seriously consider changing the core four in one way or another. And it should absolutely be either Jarrett, if you can get value for him, or Darius, or both. And the reason being is the guys that drive your championship window are Mitchell and it's Allen. Because there is some natural crossover or carryover between what Darius can do and what Donovan can do, quite frankly, there's some... I just think they're going to continue to expose your undersized backcourt. And I don't know Darius is going to have any more value than he does right now in this moment because he had a great season. And you can chalk up the Indiana stuff to the toe injury because he had great stats against Miami. I don't know you're going to get a better chance to maximize his value and bring in guys who take some of the load off of, and I'm not, the playmaking load would suddenly go on to Donovan, but I'm talking about like the, and just being able to throw more bodies around Donovan so he's not as easy to key on and just pick up from 94 feet and say, go out there and get him.
I'll be impressed if something does happen. I'm not expecting it at all.
Right, well, you're probably right, by the way.
Well, we'll talk about like different deals that could pop up and different players, and we did part of that last week, right? But I don't foresee anything happening. When he did it last year, I didn't believe him, and I'm just not going to fall for it a second time. I genuinely think he was just being honest today. I think this is how he sees it. I'm as surprised as you are, but it's how I'm going to believe him this time.
So I don't. And last season, I didn't mind because like, if there wasn't a trade out there that was befitting of Darius's talents, you shouldn't trade him, right? And listen, if that comes to fruition this offseason, teams don't want to trade a really good wing player for a dominant creator and point guard. Cool. I totally understand that. I don't know I trust him to do that this offseason. Meaning, a year ago, I looked at the market and I was like, man, it's going to be really tough to find that given what's out there, what's not out there. now, given that, I mean, we're talking about a lot of big names out there, including maybe breaking up Memphis, including Miami finally being willing to put the stones on the table and make a consequential move. Those are teams with players that have what you need. And it's not just those two. There are more teams out there. And by the way, a fair amount of those teams have a need of a centralized playmaker that can shoot the three ball really, really well, a la a guy named Darius Garland. So, like, a year ago, I totally got it. I don't want you to force your hand. I kind of feel like if something doesn't happen this offseason, I think my feeling, at least as it sits right now, is you just didn't pick up the phone when they called.
Oh, they're definitely going to be calling. Yeah, there'll definitely be teams that are interested. I would imagine not only for Darius, I would imagine for Jared as well. I would ask how creative he wants to get, but I don't think that's entirely fair. When it comes down to Donovan years prior, he has shown he's willing to do something big, right? He is willing to go ahead and take a swing, but the way he did it last year, it's how I see it's going to happen this year. There's a part of this team that he just believes in.
I think what's wild about what you're saying is, you're right, but since the Donovan trade, you haven't had to put him on the table. It's so weird to me to be like, hey, we made this trade that jump-started our rebuild by 2 or 3 years. And then you show you're ahead of schedule in the regular season.
That was a groundbreaking trade.
And now you're like, health and margins. It's like, okay, wait.
I go back to that thought, though, is as if, like, when he made the trade for Donovan, that was him kicking up his feet and saying, okay, I guess I've done enough here.
Well, but
on them to go ahead and figure it all out, when that's just not how it works. And by the way, we don't have a bunch of time these days either.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, there is the element of, will Donovan have patience with this? Will Darius have patience? Like, as of right now, we don't have a report out there that Darius doesn't want to be here. All right, which I think also hurt his trade value last year. In fairness, he had a bad year, was hurt, had a lot of stuff going on off the court, wasn't effective late in the season in the playoffs. And oh, by the way, he didn't want to be here. Your one trade, like for a guy like Darius, who his value is already a little different in this era of the NBA, you add to it, hey, at any point, he could say, yeah, I just don't think this is working for me. I want my own team. I think that would hurt his value even more.
Yeah, I don't. Do you get that expectation from Darius? I don't. He just came off a really good regular season. Obviously, the postseason was a disaster. But I feel like he knows it's his best chance to actually win. And when the Cavs are playing right, and again, this is why maybe he was so vocal in getting himself in front of the national media and everything, but like, I don't know. It feels like this is a really good spot for Darius. It's not up to him at this point.
I mean this in like the best way, because there's not like a personal inference that I'm trying to put here. I think Darius still very much would be in favor of getting his own. I think Darius is point where he's still trying to brand himself. He's still trying to make as much money as he can.
I point out every time he goes in the national media and tries to make it about himself. But
and so he's
very injured, and I just don't know.
I don't mean this in a bad way, because it's his prerogative. It's his career. It's not my life. And, like, Donovan had to learn a lot of this stuff. Like, he got all the branding stuff. He got all the superstar
thing. I would ask him, though. I'd be like, how did it go with Colin Sexton when he finally had his chance to go do it? Oh, wait, Markkanen overshadowed it, and he didn't really do it.
I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Fun playing in Washington.
I don't think Darius can be the best player in a championship team. I think he could be the second best player. I think he could be Kyrie. I absolutely do. Yeah, and I think in an offense where maybe you play with a big or a wing.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888- EarPod 1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who maybe doesn't need the ball in their hands all the time. More of an offense like now.
I just wonder with last year, though, he was looking at, like, again, it wasn't like he was, the teams that were rumored were these teams where he would just go off and die. It was San Antonio where he'd play next to Wemby. You know, like, they're like, you Wemby in the next 5 to 10 years will win a title. Like, that is him playing Kyrie to LeBron.
Or
is that option still open for him? Well, who's he paired with in Miami that's going to be... That's not Wemby.
Well, no. But you could... They could still trade for Giannis.
You want to tell me he's paired with Bam Adebayo, and I assume Hero is coming back in your return.
Yeah.
Then he's just Jimmy Butler for the previous 4 years.
Well, Darius, Giannis, and Bam Adebayo could be a pretty good...
Oh, you have
weird.
Giannis over there, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part of the trade.
Because if you give up Hero and Hakez.
They're trading for Giannis, and they're also getting Darius?
If you give up Hero and Hakez, you can then give up somebody to match the salary for Giannis and give them all the picks you want.
I will find out what the trade compensation ends up being for Giannis, but it doesn't matter. Neither here nor there. I don't see that. That's a lot. Yeah, you want to tell him you can play with Giannis in Miami, then sure, he'd say, yeah, okay.
216-474-0092. Is patience the answer? We got the Cleveland Cavaliers.
We got into Tradio there, didn't we, for a second? I fired up your NBA trade machine.
I love a little bit of Tradio. All right? Put a little Kenny Loggins on. Put a little smooth jazz. I know Kenny Loggins isn't smooth jazz. I said the wrong name first. Put a little Sade on. Get the trade machine out. See where the night goes.
You miss said Shaboozy. He said Sade. I had to.
Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.